an oral history project, jointly sponsored by the UCLA Asian American Studies Center and the Chinese Historical Society of Southern California, December 17, 1979, a second interview with Marjorie On, conducted by Beverly Chen and Sue Allen Zheng. Mrs. On, during our last interview, you told us something about your father, who ran a restaurant in the old Chinatown. Could you tell me what his name was? I didn't get it.
Oh, his name is Guan Song Zheng.
Uh-huh.
Did he ever use an American name?
Huan Shang Dun Rose. S-H-U-N-G-D-O-O-N. That's how we spell it. You know,
and Guan, Q-U-O-N.
Q-U-A-N.
A-N.
Yeah, they use phonetic sounds, so it could be Q-U-O-N, Q-U-O-N, K-W-A-N.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How about languages? What languages did you speak at
Say
home?
Yep.
Say yep. Mm-hmm. With your parents?
Yes.
Among your brothers and sisters?
Yes.
I see. Okay. And you mentioned that you returned in 1927 to China.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Actually, my father was going to take us all back to become real Chinese. And
to leave you there?
Yeah, to leave us there to go to school and all that. But we all got sick, fortunately. Thank God.
Sick?
We got sick. Yeah, with bites, and my little brother George almost died twice with fever, and one time he fell down.
Uh-huh.
You know how Chinese home, you have an upstairs and downstairs. He fell, I don't want to call her a slave, but Muinui, what?
Maid.
Okay, she took him upstairs, and he fell down the stairs, and he almost died. After that, my father decided China is no place for us. Fortunately, a year was just about up, so we have 1 year's visa, right?
Oh, visa.
Visa.
Oh.
So,
your father was a stickler for Chinese education.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
He believed in that very much. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. That's his religion. Kung Fu Ji Gao.
When you were back in China, were your family treated by the village, people there very well? They look upon you, see, this is from...
Oh, yes, from America. You know, my father, okay, that's why I think he's such a great person he was when he was alive. Every year he would send money back to China twice a year to support the whole clan. And many of them really, you know,
that's amazing.
Just do something, have no money. He supported everybody that's related to us or distantly related. So when we went back, naturally, you know, he's kind of like a hero to those people that he's been supporting.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also built another house when we were there that time. So there was a lot of happiness going on. You know, in China, after you build a house, then you have a big party.
Right.
And all the relatives come. And one thing I didn't like was all the men ate. They have tents set up there. And all the, you know, men ate, and the women ate later.
Mm-hmm.
After that, I really was indoctrinated to the whole thing. One cousin got married, and I went, and I don't know if you people up north have such thing where all of them unmarried girls get together with the one that's gonna get married, and they have all kinds of ceremony, rites, or rituals going on.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have that up north?
In old days, probably, yes.
Old days, yes.
Oh, yeah, no. Okay, it was real old things that I really learned back there. And then he made me and my brother Bill, we went to school for the one year we were there. We went to school like 6 months anyway,
mm-hmm.
as much as we
Chinese
could. Chinese school.
Were you able to catch up with the local kids?
I don't know whether I was able to not, but I was very thankful that I went.
Uh-huh.
So when I came back, I didn't know any English at all, so they put me back in American school.
Mm-hmm. And that was about third grade, huh?
Yeah. I was just going on fourth grade when I left. I came back, I had to go back to the third grade for another semester or a year.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that really delayed my education, so I didn't graduate as I should have. I graduated at an older age because I went back to China and lost a whole year and came back and have to go back another semester. Mm-hmm.
Did you find the differences about the Chinese custom here in Los Angeles than in China? Did Chinese here observe most the Chinese custom back then?
You know what? I always thought it was a very funny thing. like during the war, when we met a lot of these servicemen that came over from China, I discovered that China had progressed more than the Chinese families that live in Los Angeles, because they only observe everything they brought over in the 1800, early 1900, like my parents when they came over.
They never progressed.
They kept what they learned, and we all went under that kind of family relationship. So we were sort of like more Chinified, or I don't know what's the terminology to use, but in a very old tradition of China. And I realized in Phoenix they were worse even.
What do you think of Chinese schools? And you and other, your brothers and sisters and your friends, those of you who were born here, do you think they're useful, or were you resentful for having to go?
I was never resentful, except when I was in high school, I wanted to go see a football game, then I told my father I can't go to Chinese school, so I quit for a while because, you know, every week, and then afterward he made me go back.
How many years were you in Chinese school?
Quite a few years.
Yeah.
I graduated from junior high school. So we figured on and off, 10 years in times, but I don't think I really studied and went back and forth. So.
When you went back to China, did you anticipate anything just before you arrived?
In China?
Did you have a certain stereotype image of what life would be like?
I don't think I really know enough about China at that age. I was only 10, and I didn't know anything about China. Everything was strange.
Did you like it back then?
No, I didn't like the toilet facility.
Oh, yes.
That was one. I like the food. It's very good food to eat. Anything tastes so good and delicious and everything. And the relatives are very friendly and things like that, but I just didn't like the plumbing facility. They didn't have any.
Yeah, that's true.
So we're having a hard time. I think that's why we're always sick. And then we have all those mosquito bites that have got a lot of great big marks all over them. We're really... all of us take turns being ill all the time, so father decided there's no place for us. So after we came back, and he tried to send my brother and I back for school again. I didn't go, but my brother did. My brother Bill went back. And he stayed there many years, going to school in Hong Kong. He sent one of my nephew back too, and he even went to the university in Shanghai.
How about the family association? You said that he was the chairman of the president of the four family associations.
No, he was mostly treasurer in every association that he belonged to.
Then
he was known as an honest man, so he was always a treasurer, mostly. I don't know what other positions he held. All I know is I had to sit at the restaurant cashier while he'd go attend to all his business meetings.
How about you? Did you automatically become a member?
No. When we were young, naturally, we go, the family, like, go to parties or anything, we just tag along, but I wasn't a member, no.
You never attend any meeting?
No, not the association meetings, things
only
like
for
that.
Men.
Well, no, I know, like, Edith and some of the others, they always go back for the, you know, New Year banquets and things like that. I think Edith and Mary still do, but I was a little more out of contact with the Chinese. I didn't live in Chinatown afterward. We moved out of there, so we lost most contact with the Chinese community.
When was your father the treasurer of the association?
That is really hard to tell.
When you were very young?
Yes, right, when I was young.
So did your father ever talk about what kind of activities involved in his family?
Or do you remember going to any of the activities?
My father does not believe in telling his wife and children what goes on in his life. It's a typical Chinese reaction, isn't it? It and the family didn't have to know anything. All we need to know is, all I need is for him to give me the money. That's all I care.
When you were growing up, did you associate mostly with Chinese Americans?
With Chinese, really. When I was a child, I really did not know what the word discrimination meant, because I was going around with Chinese all the time. We live in Chinatown. We go to a grammar school where they're mostly Chinese, Mexicans, and some Jewish people. In a poor section of Los Angeles, let's say the Chinese community is always located, situated in the other side of the track, so they don't have all those ritzy white folks. So when we were in school, we played with the Chinese kids. We do everything together. After American school, we come home, we go to Chinese school. So then we are together again. So I did not know that there was such thing as discrimination until after I was married and have to go out to work.
Oh.
Cause
did you ever go to high school with white kids?
Yeah, well, I did, but then again, we were, a lot of Chinese go to the same high school. I went to Belmont, a lot of Chinese went there. And we go to school, we go home to get lunch, and we saw, I belong to the Chinese club, and we do things together.
Mm-hmm.
I have a very good friend, Mexican girl, I still send Christmas card with her. I have a very good Japanese girlfriend. I feel, you know, stick together.
I know you.
Mm-hmm. But I really wasn't that popular in those days. I did not have the time to go into all the extra curriculum in school because my father made sure that I come home, go to Chinese school. After Chinese school, I go up to the restaurant to help him. It was a way for me to do my homework to them because we have 7 kids after me. I have to help my mother with housework. I have no chance of doing schoolwork. But that was the only way I could do my homework, thank goodness, that my father needed me and gave me a chance to do my schoolwork. As I realized, like my daughter, by the time she went to school, she associated with white people only. And she was very popular in school because she was, she mixed in with everybody. In our days, more Chinese go together and we just kind of clannish, maybe stick together, which in a way was good because we all spoke Chinese and we kept our Chinese language.
Your
generation.
Friends and you spoke
We all
Chinese
do, we still do.
With each other?
Oh, yeah.
Ah, I see.
All those friends and my girlfriends, I know we all still speak Chinese.
Except with your Japanese and Mexican
girlfriend.
I see.
So you say you found the discrimination actually exists when
I went to work. That's
they won't hire you?
Especially when I worked for the city of LA, I didn't realize that was discrimination until I found out they keep not letting me get promoted, and other Chinese friends say, don't try to hit your head against the wall, don't try for the higher promotion, they'll never hire you. Then I begin to realize what was going on.
Mm.
And then at one time, after I was number one on the list several times for a principal clerk, which has to supervise the whole office. And those white people went to the head of the office and said they don't want a Chinese girl to be their boss. It was really shocking.
That was when?
That was like in 1960. And
so what did you do about
that? But before that, I had a hard time to get up to that position.
Uh-huh, yeah.
They
before that too.
No, yeah, they were always different. You can only be a clerk typist or a standoff. Or senior at the highest, they don't let you go up to principal where you have to supervise other people.
Uh-huh. When you start your work, did you have a hard time to find a job?
We were still in the war, so they were short of people. So I started with the Los Angeles Police Department. They took me in temporary. But fortunately, I did not realize it, but I have a police sergeant friend that I didn't know. He was a friend of the family.
Mm-hmm.
And I got into it myself after temporarily. Because they needed people very badly, so I got into it as a typist and worked. And 6 months up, I had to take my test to try to get on the regular list. I made it, got on the list. Then this sergeant saw my name. I didn't realize he was a friend of the family. So I guess my brother George told him that his sister worked at the city. So he called me in and asked if I would like to work, you know, under him in the peace commission, which was a very good break for me.
Was there anything you were able to do about the discrimination which you suffered?
Nothing much, really, because my higher up wasn't they weren't going to back me. I remember one time in my job, after I was number one on the list several times, they were finally forced to give me the job. I presume that's why I got it. Then
to be what?
Principal clerk,
uh-huh.
Which I supervised an office, the whole standard pool.
Uh-huh.
So I have a white girl who was my assistant. And my higher up try to make me do what she wants, not what, you know,
oh,
I want her to
around.
Do.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes I got some men, I say, who am the boss here, she or me?
Uh-huh. I see.
And if I had to go to the very high up, I asked my supervisor, do I have any, when they first appointed me, like, just to show what discrimination, said, do I have any authority?
Mm-hmm.
Said, no, you have no authority. So I got very mad, so I went to the city clerk himself and told him what this person said.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, of course you have authority. But I said, so-and-so told me that I have no authority. What am I, a figurehead in there? I said, if that's the case, I don't want the job.
Mm-hmm.
He said, no, you're legally appointed as principal clerk,
mm-hmm.
and you run the office.
Mm-hmm.
But I really did not get very much help until another assistant city clerk came back from the mayor's office. And after I informed him of all the thing that was going on, all the thing that they were doing to me, he got very angry. He told me, he said, you stand your place and don't let them push you around. That really encouraged me. I said, do you mean to tell me you're going to back me up? And he said, of course. He said, don't let them push you around. You have your right. And I think he called the other people in and really, I don't know what he said to them, because my supervisor told me that I stabbed him in the back. So afterward, they were nicer to me.
Mm-hmm. Was that typical that for a Chinese girl working in the city as a clerk, especially before World War II?
Not that many Chinese women.
How about Chinese women? Before World War II, what most
not
Chinese
that,
women do?
Not that many Chinese were working before World War II. Very
mm-hmm.
few.
Mm-hmm. But among those few, among those
I don't
women, what
remember
they do?
Who, they don't hire them.
Mm-hmm.
There weren't any. In fact, I felt that without a college degree, I was one of the minority group that really got hired in a senior standard clerk.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, you didn't finish college?
No, I then went night school and I went to East LA College.
Uh-huh.
I keep trying to improve myself so that I could get promotion without them having an excuse of not promoting me.
Mm-hmm. In your memory, what most Chinese women
what did they do?
Before World War II, they mostly stay home, housewife, or they try to work somehow. You remember your neighbors or?
I don't even remember very many of my friends really worked
uh-huh.
until World War II came along.
Uh-huh.
That really offered many jobs open.
Mm-hmm. When you started working, which year was it?
Oh, I worked when I was, like I say, when I was about 12-year-old for my father,
no.
but he didn't consider that work.
Mm-hmm. No, I meant the clerk job.
Oh, I know.
For the police.
No, I worked for somebody else before that. We have a restaurant in 1940. My husband helped set my husband and my brothers up in a restaurant business down in Chinatown. And the war came and my brother went to aeronautical engineering. So my husband decided he didn't want to run the restaurant. So we gave it back to my father.
Uh-huh.
And then my husband then went to work for the shipyard, and he got burned very seriously. So he was in the hospital many months. After he got out of the hospital, he was drafted right away. So he went into the Army. So then I went and worked down at the produce market. That was in 1942.
Oh, mm-hmm. Whose produce market?
I first worked for Dan Lu
mm-hmm.
at Lu Produce.
Mm-hmm. What did you do?
In office work. Then after a year, I worked for Henry Wu at E&L.
When was it, Dan Lewis?
Dan at the 9th Street Wholesale Produce.
So when did you start?
I worked for him in 1942.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Was this Dan Lewis produce market a fairly big size market, or many workers?
There were some 5-6 workers in the office. There are a lot of salesmen, you know. Then a year later, I went over to E&L and worked for Henry Wu. I worked there until 1945. My husband came back from 1947. My husband came back from service, so we When did we open the grocery store, huh? 45, huh?
No, no.
In 1947, after my husband came out of service, we decided to open a grocery store. So we went in the grocery business for about a year. I didn't like it, so 2 years? Okay. In 49, I think we sold the place. Then I worked for a fellow that owned a whole chain of gas stations. I was sort of like a one-girl office. I did the bookkeeping, and every morning I'd go to every station and collect all his money, and I'd bank them and write checks to pay for all his the oils that he had to buy, and all things like that. I don't know what you call a one-girl accountant.
Mm-hmm. Were you the bookkeeper for these produce market too?
No,
office?
I just did one of the clerical, but I took bookkeeping when I was in high school, so I know something about
Do you earn quite a bit of money there, or how's the salary?
When I was working for some light gas station, he was paying me $50 a week plus gas.
Mm-hmm. How about in the produce market?
Oh, produce market, I started, I think they were paying us. Oh, I know. He hired me at $90 a month,
mm-hmm.
but there was Annie Han and I were both hired at the same time, and we were doing such good work that the first month we would pay $100 instead of $90 because
mm-hmm.
we were
pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, then we started at $100 a month.
Mm-hmm. So this produce market have very good business. They have very good profit.
Well, see, after the war started, the Japanese all left, so the Chinese took over the wholesale produce business. And in the very beginning, actually, well, everybody has to work into the business. Eventually, they all got very good business, got very rich from it, I presume, because
mm-hmm.
they're still operating and still own the
mm-hmm.
business.
How many hours did you have to work in the produce market?
Oh, we used to go in very early, like 7 o'clock. And leaves like about 2 or 3 o'clock.
Afternoon
mm-hmm.
or evening?
No, afternoon.
Oh, afternoon.
It was really nice hour. You get out early enough so that you still have, you know, half a day to do anything you want. I really liked the wholesale business for a long time. I really liked it. Until my husband came back from service, he decided he wanted to go into business.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want to go work for anybody.
Mm-hmm. So in around 1950, you went into the police?
After I quit the Sunlight gas station, I worked there 9 months, then I quit. Then I tried tried to get jobs with other firm, and the Korean War started 1950, right? And nobody would hire me because I am Chinese.
Oh.
One time they interviewed me, they thought I'm a Mexican or whatnot. When they find out that I'm Chinese, they said they were sorry, it's just one of those things.
Oh.
And talk about discrimination. One time, we called up the Forest Lawn Memorial Park and asked if they have any plots available, because we thought we'll get a couple plots. And they talked to us over the phone, and our last name's Ong. And we didn't know that Norwegian has last name Ong too. So they have it all set up, okay, they were gonna sell us 2 plots and everything. When we told them we were Chinese, they canceled right away. They said, we're sorry, but they not allow Chinese to be buried there.
Where was that?
At Forest Lawn.
Where?
What year was it when we were at the open house? Like,
so that was the
1950s? Yeah, sometime in the 1950s.
I see. How about for Chinese buying properties or how?
That's another. I knew that while I was still working at the market, friends that I know work with at the market told me that he bought a house in the west side, and not before long there were stone tomatoes thrown at them, rocks thrown through the windows. In fact, several Chinese families that bought what they considered west side, the more American side, were being abused by their white neighbors.
Did your father own the store or any house?
Oh, when they tore down Chinatown, he bought a house down on East 20th Street. And he rented out to a couple ladies that were living there at that time, and he continued letting them live there because he was reluctant to give up living in Chinatown. By hook or by crook, he was going to manage to keep us in Chinatown until the last minute. So I think they moved. Finally, by 1936, they start tearing down Chinatown. And in 37, we were still living at that place. I gave you the picture, mm-hmm. that old structure.
Mm-hmm.
And I think 1938, before he moved down to his house that he owned down on East 20th Street. Because I got married in December 1937. So after I married, they moved down to the other place.
So when he bought that house, did he have any difficult time? Or?
Because that was not in the west side, that was more in the east side, where the lower income people buy their homes or something, whatever you call it.
Mm-hmm.
Other side of the track.
Yeah. How about this house?
We have no problem buying here. In fact, in 1951, we bought another house up at the El Sereno district. We went looking there, and each time the sales agent, everywhere we go, he would say, stop, let me go check to see if they would receive Chinese in this community. So I told him, forget it. If they don't want me, I don't want to live here. So we finally got to the El Sereno district, and I found out that Jenny Lee of Lee Travel was living on that street. I said, okay, I don't have to worry. There's a Chinese family here. So true enough, we bought our first home there on that street. And then later on, we bought this house. By then, there's no problem. Oh, I understand that when they first built this area, they wouldn't sell to the Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, afterward, they found the Chinese were the one that has the money to pay them cash and no problem collecting. And they were such good clients that eventually they just turned and sold to Chinese and then Japanese and a lot of Asian
people.
When
did you buy this house?
We bought this in 1966.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see.
The most Chinese live near other Chinese, especially in the old days.
They always kind of centralize,
right.
Like East 20th Street, where I talk about my father had that. There were a lot of Chinese in that community. And then on Adam, from 20th to Adam, and then they used the third Chinatown. They used to call that 9th Street near the wholesale produce. That was considered third Chinatown. There were Chinese residents there and Chinese business.
Were there a difference between these different Chinatown?
Well, the old Chinatown was the one we grew up in before they tore it down for the Union Depot.
And most people there were merchants?
Yes. Merchants and their family live around there, but especially, in sectionalized apartments or whatever. I don't know, even know what you call those. They're all big buildings that are partitioned off into family units.
Mm-hmm. How about New Chinatown?
Okay,
also the merchant too.
Merchant, then by the time they built New Chinatown, they built, some of them built living quarters, like they have the store down below, they live upstairs. I think there were one or two like that, but mostly they're all only business.
Who were the people who lived down San Pedro's, the Pedro's Market area?
At one time I knew some of the people who lived down there. Like there was another Kwan family.
So they were produce market workers,
not
owners,
necessarily.
Or they were?
Not necessarily. I think Chinese always live whenever they find other Chinese, with their Chinese stores, where they could easily have access to buying Chinese food stuff.
Okay, as for various cases of discrimination, do you think they were basically acts of hostility? Or misunderstanding, or both?
Probably both. They just felt that we're not good enough for them.
When
for them to associate with me. I remember when my daughter was a little, like 6 years old. No, not 6 years old, maybe three. We were taking a train to Phoenix,
Phoenix?
Yeah, on the train, she was just a child. She was 23, because we moved out here when she was two. She was walking down the aisle. She wanted to play with a little white girl. And the mother grabbed that little daughter and held her as if my daughter was poison or was going to kill her daughter. I don't want that. She would let her child play with my daughter. And I have a hard time trying to get my daughter not to go and play with another child. But that's how they feel about
When was that roughly? Was it
40s? Like 1940. Gee, I remember my husband was still, we were still living in Phoenix, so I came out to see my family. And in those days, planes weren't that, that we weren't flying around at all. It was by train only. So we were going home on the train. I remember that so much, and it was, it made me feel so hurt that that happened, that she wouldn't let her child play with, or let my child go play with her child.
That must be before World War One.
Right,
yeah.
Two,
in World War Two, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
When did you feel that this sort of discrimination, and if it did you feel that?
That was really a first, my first case of feeling discriminated, to realize that happens, that our little child, you know, only they wouldn't allow.
Do you feel that sort of discrimination still exists now, the possibility of discrimination?
No, I don't think so.
So
if they do feel it now, they don't show it so much now as they used to.